So what's it like to be a cat? I'm very glad you asked me that. The day begins for cats like me, and all the world sleeps quietly. I wake up in the friendly dark, long, long before the sun is bright. It is the middle of the night. In slipping out on silent feet, I search for something nice to eat. The hill is dark, the hall is dark, your dishes too. I'd be afraid if I were you. The dark hut's also scary stuff. Dear questioner, I've heard enough. The hall is dark, that's very true, but I can see as well as you when lights are on. So I will eat till I feel fed, then tiptoe softly back to bed. Do you have a kitty bed with your picture at the head? I do not have a kitty bed to rest my kitty tail and head. I'd rather sleep most anywhere that's warm and soft. A couch, a chair, a sleeping loft, I'll curl up there. And once you're curled, you will not stir, but nap compactly wrapped in fur? Mew? And how? When they all get up for breakfast in your early morning house, do you sleep or will you join them for some breakfast bits o' mouse? A cat has her habits, a human has his. As for getting up for breakfast, I do not know what breakfast is. My dog is always glad to see me. He barks good day and shares his bone. But cats are private creatures who are happier when left alone. Of course, I trust and also wish no one forgets to fill my dish. A bit of fish might be delish. I understand you sleep a lot, but once in a while, I leap a lot. Cats have moods like many creatures, mothers, fathers, tigers, teachers. So when I feel the need to pounce, I run and whisk my tail and dance. And do you roar? Please tell me more. Do you roar? I have this answer. I am a very silent dancer. I rip through doors and slip through alleys. Bounce and pounce and slide and sally. Rush and run and twirl and spring at you, my tail, or anything. I whisk my whiskers, pound my paws. But why? Because. Because it is a part of me, sometimes a feline must fly free. We know you live with people. Yes, a few. Do you like them? Do they like you? With my cat-like dignity, it never has occurred to me to wonder what they think of me. At times they're dumb, at times they're sweet, they balance nicely on their feet. I do not think that I could do half as well on merely two. But can they nap as fast as you? They cannot do what I can do. They do not nap or leap or lie as gracefully or well as I. They look peculiar with no fur. They do not simply sit and purr. Instead, they stomp around and yell. But nonetheless, I wish them well. They are themselves, and that is that. Myself, I'd rather be a cat. The end. So, I really like that story because I would like to be a cat to be able to sleep a lot and eat a lot and sleep a lot all day. And this next song is one that I'm sure you've heard before. It's one that I remember from my childhood. Here is Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cat.
With my tail in the air. Cat style. class and I got cat style.
Welcome back to The Storytellers. I'm Natalie Harris. In case if you're just joining us, we are doing a cat theme tonight to celebrate all the wonderful cats in the world. So our next story is one that I actually just found for this, and it surprised me because this book is by Jan Brett. And Jan Brett normally likes to do a winter kind of theme or someplace that's set very cold. But this book is actually set in summer and by the beach too. So it's really interesting to see. I highly suggest going to check this one out at the library. Here is Comet's Nine Lives by Jan Brett. Comet was born 30 miles out to sea on Nantucket Island. He grew up wandering all over the island, staying a few days here and a few days there. One summer day, Comet stopped in a garden to nibble some tasty-looking foxgloves. First they made him feel woozy, then he fell into a deep sleep. When Comet woke up, he felt fine, but different. Oops! He realized he lost the first of the nine lives every cat has when it is born. Maybe I should find myself a home. And he trotted into the bookstore and settled down on a top of stack of bestsellers. Life was good until one day it rained all morning and the islanders hurried inside for something to read. In the rush, Comet's Tower of Bestsellers toppled over and he was buried under a pile of books. Oh no! He had turned the page on life number two. I think I need some fresh salt air. Down to the docks he went and arrived just as the little scalper, the jeans he was casting off. Once underway, an easterly wind blew up and Comet knew he had made a mistake. Up, 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 the jean she rose. Down, 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 she flew on a following sea. Comet hung on until a huge wave foamed across the stern, and he found himself aloft in the high seas. The tide carried Comet back into the harbor, but as he flicked salt from his whiskers, life number three went out with the tide. Comet was still recovering on the beach when he heard music. It was the annual 4th of July concert. He climbed up a tree for a better look. The music reached its loudest chord. Comet got so excited that he lost his grip and plunged down into the tuba. Three waltzes and a salsa march later, Comet staggered away and life number four sounded its last chord. Comet spent the night trying to figure out what to do next. He wished there was another cat around to ask if its lives were going by as quickly as his. The next day, everyone was going up to an open window and coming down with ice cream. Comet was hungry, so he trotted after the crowd. The staff at the ice cream shop gave Comet his own bowl of leftover milkshake. He felt so welcome that he decided to stay. But all too soon, an island health officer burst into the shop and spotted Comet. "Furball," he cried. "Feline residues! Maximum infractions!" Startled, Comet jumped up and fell headfirst into a strawberry shake. The staff pulled him out and he watched life number five fly off, licking its paws. "Maybe I'm trying too hard. It's time for some fun." He climbed into a bike basket just as a crowd of summer visitors were hurrying off the ferry. It was Waffle's first time on the island. She was happy to have Comet's company, and off they went bumpity-bump all around the island. Just as they reached the bottom of the last hill into the village, Waffle screeched to a halt to avoid a taxi. Comet went flying, along with life number six. "I think I'll just walk the rest of the way." Comet was limping by the island theater when a poster advertising the last performance of summer caught his eye. A beautiful actress with a sweet smile looked out at him. Maybe she would like to take a cat home with her. Comet pounced happily on stage and purred loudly. The actress sneezed. "There's a cat in here," she shrieked. "I'm allergic to cats." She spotted Comet and hurled her sequin high heel right at him. Comet flew through the air into the last row. The curtain had come down on life number seven. Fall breezes were blowing up as the summer visitors headed for the ferry. Comet wandered alone along the beach. He could see the red beacon of the Brant Point Lighthouse in the distance. Waves crashed and pounded on the sand. The wind picked up and deck chairs and lobster pots flew by Comet. It was Hurricane Elmador heading straight for Nantucket Island. All Comet could see now was the blinking lighthouse beacon. He ran toward it when a huge wave broke down on top of him. The rushing surf carried Comet into an open doorway. As life number eight washed out to sea, dazed he opened his eyes and saw a green light across the room. "Meow," someone purred. "Meow," he answered, looking up. He was staring into the green eyes of the lighthouse cat. At that moment, he knew he was home. And as the fall days turned into winter, Comet knew exactly where he wanted to live for the rest of his life. The end. Isn't that story just absolutely adorable? I love Jan Brett and all of her work, and I highly recommend looking at that one because it's just an adorable story. This next song is one that maybe you've heard and maybe you've not heard, but I'm sure you know of where it came from. This is from Looney Tunes, and it's sung by Tweety Bird. Here is I Taw a Putty Tat.
I am a little tiny bird, my name is Tweety Pie. I live inside my bird cage, a hanging way up high. I like to swing upon my perch and sing my little song. But there's a cat that's after me and won't let me alone. I taw a putty tat, a tweeping upon me. I did, I taw a putty tat, as plain as he could be.
I am that great big battle cat, Sylvester is my name. I only have one aim in life, and that is very plain. I want to catch that little bird and eat him right away. But just as I get close to him, this is what he'll say. I taw a putty cat, a creeping upon me. You bet he saw a putty cat, that putty cat is me.
That putty cat is very bad, he sneaks up from behind. I don't think I would like it if I knew what's on his mind. I have a strong suspicion that his plans for me aren't good. I am inclined to think that he would eat me if he could.
I'd like to eat that Sweety Pie when he leaves his cage, but I can never catch him, it throws me in a rage. You bet I'd eat that little bird if I could just get near, but every time that I approach, this is all I hear.
I taw a putty cat, a tweeping upon me. I taw a putty cat as plain as he could be. And when I sing that little song, my mistress knows he's back. She grabs her broom and brings it down upon Sylvester's back. So listen, you bad putty cat, let's both be friends, you see. My mistress will not chase you if you sing this song with me. Come on now, like a good cat.
Oh, all right. Suffering succotash.
I taught a putty cat a creeping upon me. I taught a putty cat as plain as he could be.
Welcome back to The Storytellers. I'm Natalie Harris. In case if you're just joining us, we are doing a cat theme today because I want to celebrate all the wonderful, beautiful cats out there. So this next book is one that I'm sure you've heard of before. Maybe you haven't heard the actual story, but I'm sure you've heard the name. There's even a movie after him. This is Puss in Boots by Jerry Pinkney. Nestled in the hills of a quaint village sat a grain mill. The miller had three hard-working sons, a donkey, and a cat. When the miller died, his belongings were divided in this order. The oldest son received the mill, the middle son the donkey, and the youngest, named Benjamin, got the cat. This worried Benjamin enormously. Just how can I make my way in this life, he sighed, with only a cat? The cat overheard. Have some boots made for me, he said, and give me a strong sack with a drawstring. I just might be able to help you find your fortune. Benjamin knew his cat to be clever, and so he agreed. How gallant the cat looked in his boots, standing upright on hind legs. From that day on, Benjamin called him Puss in Boots. Puss went about filling the sack with cabbage leaves and carrots, then hauled it into the deep woods where he knew there was an abundance of rabbits. He laid down a trail of bite-sized bits, stretched out as though he were dead, and waited. Before long they came, one hop at a time. One foolish rabbit took the bait and jumped right into the sack. Instantly, Puss pulled the strings, knotted them, and headed for the king's castle. He knew that a fresh rabbit was just the right present to offer the king, and a way to introduction. Once inside the royal chambers, Puss bowed and placed the rabbit at the king's feet. I have brought your majesty a gift from my young master, the Count of Carabas, with his compliments. Tell your count I gladly accept, the king responded. It will make for a delicious meal. The following day, Puss went hunting again. He knew where the partridge fed. This time he hung by his ankles in a tree, with the sack's drawstring in his paws and kernels of corn as bait. Again, with great patience, he waited, when before long he had caught a partridge. Puss returned to the castle to the delight of the king. Puss continued to surprise the king with gifts. One day a rabbit, the next day a partridge, one day a fish, the next day a pheasant. So it went until the king sent gold in gratitude to the Count of Carabas and had a special feathered hat made for Puss. One day as he was leaving, Puss saw the king's men preparing to take his majesty and the princess for a carriage outing. Right then, Puss hatched a plan. Rushing home, he said to Benjamin, "If you do as I suggest, more fortune will come to you. First, go wash off the dust of the day in the river. Leave the rest to me." Benjamin did just as Puss asked. After all, had his cat not supplied enough gold for him to provide for himself and even help his brothers? While Benjamin was bathing, Puss proceeded to hide his master's clothing in a hollow tree. No sooner were they hidden when the king's carriage approached. "Help! Help!" the cat cried out. "My lord went for a swim," Puss told the king and his coachman, "and thieves came and stole his clothes. Now the count is in the water and can't get out. If he stays much longer, he will freeze." Immediately, the king commanded his coachman to rescue the count. Benjamin didn't know what his cat was up to, but he played along. The king's young daughter sent a footman back to the palace to fetch clothing fit for her lord, and soon Benjamin was out of the river and outfitted in fine garments. He felt grand, especially when he was invited to join the king and princess for the rest of their outing. And this pleased Princess Daniela very much, for now she would have someone her age to talk with. In the meantime, the cat, pleased that his plans were succeeding, went ahead of them until he came to a dense forest. He knew these lands belonged to a rich and evil sorcerer. When he met up with the countrymen who were clearing away tall trees, he spoke to them in the name of the sorcerer. "The king's carriage will be passing by soon," said he. "If you do not tell the king that this forest belongs to the Count of Carabas, you shall be ground up and made into sausage." The woodsmen bowed their heads, and trembling, they all agreed. Soon the carriage passed by, and the king called out to the woodsmen, "To whom does this vast forest belong?" "The Count of Carabas," they all answered. Meanwhile, Puss, running ahead, met with a group of reapers. "The king's carriage will be passing by soon," said he in the name of the sorcerer. "If you do not tell the king that these fields of wheat belong to the Count of Carabas, you shall be ground up and made into sausage." Then off he ran. Moments later, the carriage passed by. "Who owns all this land and its golden crop?" called the king. With shaky voices, they all shouted, "The Count of Carabas!" Puss soon came to the large estate where the sorcerer dwelled. After passing over a drawbridge, he entered the castle's courtyard with its lush grounds. There he spotted many industrious gardens. "The king's carriage will be arriving here soon," said he in the name of the sorcerer. "If you do not tell the king that these flowers bloom for the Count of Carabas, you shall be ground up and made into sausage." Then Puss marched up the stairs right into the sorcerer's chambers. Bowing, the cunning cat said, "I've heard you have great powers." The sorcerer sneered, "Beyond all that you can imagine," he crowed, with a laugh that rattled everything on his table. "Convince me," Puss responded. "I can turn myself into any animal I choose," boasted the sorcerer. And with that, he let a ferocious growl, leaped into the air, and became a great bear. Puss was terrified, but after gathering his wits, he said, "A bear is so much like you, great sorcerer. The bear is strong and fearless. How about something graceful and lean? Can you turn yourself into a deer?" "That's easy," snorted the sorcerer. Oh, how high that deer sprang before the sorcerer turned back into himself. "Amazing," Puss exclaimed. "But do you have the power to change yourself into the smallest and weakest of creatures, like, say, a mouse?" The flattery had made the sorcerer quite silly. "Dear cat," he said, "just watch." Instantly a squeak was heard, before the sorcerer could scurry out of the room on his tiny mouse paws. Puss had gobbled him right up. Just about that time, the king's carriage crossed the drawbridge and entered the magnificent castle garden. "My countrymen," the king called out, "to whom does this enchanting palace belong?" "The Count of Carabas," they told him, tossing bouquets. As the carriage arrived at the staircase up to the grandest of castles, even larger and more magnificent than the king's own palace, Count Carabas climbed out to escort the princess and king inside. When Puss saw them, he knew that his work was done. "Your Majesty," the count announced, "you have arrived at the castle of my master, Count Carabas." Puss led them into the great hall, which glittered with gold and precious jewels. That day the king decreed that the princess would become the Countess of Carabas. Soon bells were ringing throughout the entire countryside, announcing the royal wedding. The very next day, His Majesty the King bestowed on Puss in Boots the royal title of Prime Minister. Puss never chased mice again. That is, never except for his own amusement. The end. Isn't that story very sweet? I liked that one a lot. This next story is also one that is a childhood favorite of mine. It's also written by one of my favorite childhood authors ever. Here is Kitten's First Full Moon by Kevin Hankies. It was Kitten's first full moon. When she saw it, she thought, "There's a little bowl of milk in the sky," and she wanted it. So she closed her eyes and stretched her neck and opened her mouth and licked. But Kitten only ended up with a bug on her tongue. Poor Kitten. Still, there was a little bowl of milk, just waiting. So she pulled herself together and wiggled her bottom and sprang from the top step of the porch. But Kitten only tumbled, bumping her nose and banging her ear and pinching her tail. Poor Kitten. Still, there was a little bowl of milk, just waiting. So she chased it, down the sidewalk, through the garden, past the field, and by the pond. But Kitten never seemed to get closer. Poor Kitten. Still, there was a little bowl of milk, just waiting. So she ran to the tallest tree she could find, and she climbed and climbed and climbed to the very top. But Kitten still couldn't reach the bowl of milk, and now she was scared. Poor Kitten, what could she do? Then, in the pond, Kitten saw another bowl of milk, and it was bigger. What a night! So she raced down the tree and raced through the grass and raced to the edge of the pond. She leaped with all her might. Splash! Poor Kitten, now she was wet and sad and tired and hungry. So she went back home. And there was a great big bowl of milk on the porch, just waiting for her. Lucky Kitten. The end. Isn't that story adorable? I highly recommend that you check it out at the library or buy it if you want, just because the pictures are really cute and I love the character of the little kitten. So, I wanted to tell you the story of my cat, Cutie. I meant to tell you earlier because I told you how we got Copper before on one of the other shows. But we actually found Cutie in a wood pile in our backyard. And my dad was just walking out there and he saw this litter of kittens there. We actually, we had stray cats around and so one of them had a litter of kittens. And so we found homes for a lot of them, but we grew so attached to them because we had them for a while because they have to get old enough until you can give them away to some of, to families. And so we grew so attached to them that we kept one of them. And my sister, we named her Cutie. And it's actually kind of funny because when my cousins, they also have one of Cutie's sisters. I remember I called her Cookie because she would eat all the other cats' food. It was really funny. She really liked to eat. But they named her Princess, which I think definitely suits her. And if you have a cat at home tonight, make sure to give it a lot of extra love. Maybe feed it some treats. I know Cutie has these specific treats that she loves, and if she doesn't have them, she's not entirely pleased. So remember that the story tells cannot be made possible without the generous contributions of KZ Farm members and by Flow Native Nursery and Restoration, Where the Wild Things Grow, a California native nursery committed to the use of sustainable native plants for landscaping and restoration projects. For information about native plants and drought-tolerant landscape design, visit Floral Native Nursery and Restoration at 2511 Flora Avenue or call 892-2511 online at floralnativenursery.com. And remember, in a few minutes, we are going to play Melvin Seals and Jerry Garcia Band live at the Big Room, and that's going to be at 7:30, but we're going to tune in just a little bit early. Here is a song that I'm sure you all know from the Aristocrats, Everybody Wants to Be a Cat. See you next time.
Well, little lady, let me elucidate here. Everybody wants to be a cat, because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at.
Tell me everybody's picking up on that feline beat, cause everything else is obsolete. Square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born
every time he plays.
But with a square in the act, you can set music back
to the game and days of troubles.
I've heard some corny birds who tried to sing.
Still, a cat's the only cat who knows how to swing.
Who wants to dick long hair, dicky stuff like that?
When
Everybody wants to be a cat. A square with a horn makes you wish you weren't born. Every time he plays, oh, a rinky-tinky-dinky with a square in the act. You can set music back to the caveman days.
Oh, a rinky-tinky-tinky.
Yes, everybody wants to be a cat. Because a cat's the only cat who knows where it's at. When playing jazz, you always has a welcome mat.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And I'm very proud to announce that we have a special broadcast live from the Sierra Nevada Big Room. We've got our own general manager, Rick Anderson, over there. Rick, what is the feeling and what are the vibrations like over at the Big Room?
DJ PHG, thanks very much. We are here. We're live at the Big Room for Melvin Seals and the Jerry Garcia Band. Melvin is a longtime deadhead, as a lot of people know, but a really wonderful musician, and has a talented group of folks with him. And this is going to be a great show. I think they were here, I want to say, in December of last year and really tore it up. So that's why Bob invited them back. We want to say thank you to the Sierra Nevada Brewery and Bob Littell for inviting us into their living room. We always feel like members of the family when we are here, and we really appreciate it. I'm Rick Anderson with Senior Felipe, LA Sounds, live from the Big Room.
How are we doing out there? Good to see you guys.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. You got it, baby.
All right, and Kyle Porter is here, too. Kyle is our Paradise Audio dude. He's also one of the hosts of Creole Stomp. And I would also say he's a deadhead.
Yeah, I'm a deadhead. I saw and recorded many Jerry Garcia Band shows at the Warfield Theater, maybe 90% of them. And looking forward to see Melvin and the girls on stage here tonight. It's going to be awesome.
Warfield is where I first saw him too, so I'm with you. Those were some of my favorite shows. Jerry was kind of in residence there, kind of, if you will. I mean, for long periods of time at various points in some years and stuff, and did some really good shows.
Yeah, Jerry, I think in 1990, maybe it was, the Jerry Garcia Band started to get pretty big, and they did an East Coast tour, and they were playing stadiums around the East Coast. I remember they played a Halloween 1990, I want to say 90, I'm guessing, at Concord Pavilion and Henry J. Kaiser as well, and moved on to bigger things. But it's great to have them here in our small little venue, the Big Room.
Absolutely. They're going to tear it up. A couple of shows coming to the Big Room here in the near future. On Tuesday of next week, a week from tonight, Leftover Cuties. And tickets are still available for that one. And Monday, September 14th, the band Mountain Heart, Bluegrass, Americana Roots Band. Oktoberfest is happening here at Sierra Nevada Brewery, and that is Sunday, October 4th. Those are the only tickets left. I believe it's everything else is sold out. And we've got a show coming up on September 25th. KZFR presents the Mother Truckers live at the Chico Women's Club on Friday, September 25th. Tickets are at Chico Paper Company and KZFR.org for only $20. So we bumped LA Sounds tonight, but
Where else would you be, baby? Where else would you be?
Melvin Seals and the Jerry Garcia Band. This is going to be some pretty cool, they've got a lot of R&B in them too, Phil, so you'll dig that.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
Right on. Melvin Seals, the Jerry Garcia Band, are getting ready. Bob's just about, hopefully, ready to pull them out. And I do believe got a few members of the band coming out right now, so they'll be on any second now. Once again, thanks to Sierra Nevada and Bob Littell for inviting us and letting us come to their living room, in effect. It's the Big Room. Here comes the big man. Here we go.
That's a little bit